Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and blessings, and welcome to another installment of the Gist for Freedom Estate. This show is produced by acclaimed historian, educator, and author Leslie Gist, and serves as our weekly live online discussion to celebrate the African American experience by honoring all the people, past and present, black and white, who, with faith and focus, are preserving our rich history through literature, the arts, the skilled trades, and the humanities. We thank you for joining us tonight, and we'd love you to be a part of tonight's discussion by calling in with your comments or questions to 347-324-5552.
Rochelle Metcalf, this is his family. His grandmother is Bess Hunter. Will be 99 at the end of this month. She lives alone on 300 acres of land, and she takes care of 25 head of cats. He had a conversation with her, and we had talked about doing a film together, but I thought it was going to be narrative. So we came back from the visit with his grandmother, and he said, I think I have our story. And he started talking about the foot wash, and I was like, what the hell is a foot wash? Foot wash. You gotta do this about the foot wash. And I was like, all right, Raquel, whatever. You know, go take this camera, take some pictures, and come back and we'll look at it. So he came back with, and I wish he was here, because to see him would explain it immediately. He's like 6'3". He has really long arms. Tall, beautiful drink of water. He came back with his arms akimbo, with this photograph, arms akimbo, in front of six of the biggest asses I've ever seen. And I was like, wait a minute, you said your grandmother was on this? How did we get from that to this? That started the that's going to have to end. And maybe you could talk to us a little bit about subject and how you got close to being on camera and how that developed in terms of the story, maybe going back and forth with folks. Well, it really started because we, once we decided to do the film, the foot wash only happens once a year. So it's like, but we need to get the background. We need to figure out how this all happened. What do we do? So we went back. Went in April of 09 to shoot all of the old folks because we needed to get their stories. A lot of them are sick. One of them is passed. We shot the funeral. Grandma's like, not that we'll be 99, so we need to get the history. And a lot of the people came to us because Raquel's uncle was the principal of the high school and very highly respected. And so literally, it was quite simple to get the people to come to us. And we wanted to explain to them that when you sign this release,
everybody signed a release,
we are going to tell the story of the evolution of the foot wash, of the Benevolent Society into the Foot Wash. And so that was probably the simplest thing. When that started to change was when we started to delve more into the foot wash. And the person who had the biggest problem with it was Ora Burke. But then, she went off camera. She would tell us all these stories about how she got in a fight with so-and-so because they're trying to take the land, and they don't know. She don't know. I'll slap that bitch. we were shooting, and it took 3 years to do it. We finished in January. And when we were shooting at the foot wash last year, the young woman that you see, Sydney Brown, had come to town, and that was her first time. at the foot wash, and she had all these papers about where the land was, and we were sitting outside of the ground, and we saw the state troopers going by. And I was like, what's going on? Come and find out, Oral Burks was chasing Sidney Brown around the foot wash with a stick because she was going to beat her ass. Girl, this is my land. This is my. So there's arguments now over the land. But the most important thing, what I learned, is that, listen, I will be 60 the end of November. What I realized is that there's a lot about my history I don't know. And that bothered me. And I remember sitting with Raquel and saying, how do we tell this story? Can we tell this story in a way that will lift us? Mm-hmm. I was concerned about that because so many times we're not lifted up. Mm-hmm. But the point I think that settles with me is that we can't let anyone else tell this story. We have to tell our story.
Yeah.
And we have to tell them in a way that shows us the boil and the smile. Because our young people are going down there. But you heard the sheriff. There are upwards of 100,000 people who descend on this area like clockwork. And I'm telling you, you walk in like this through it. I'm an actor, so you know I got to. When I'm telling you, at night, you can't get through that place. Jam packed with our brothers and our sisters who are down there for what you saw. And when you ask them, do they know this rich history? They don't know it. So we're not passing along our history. We're not talking. We're losing our community. And so the decision was, you know what? Let's tell the story. Because within this story, there is the humanity, there is the history, there's the humor. How do we survive if we have humor? And ability to find likeness in the midst of that chaos. And the old folks really want it to survive. Raquel and I think differently. I don't think it's the Feral Benevolent Society going to survive. He does. He believes that it will. Because we have very different religions. Tenets as well. Raquel is very religious, and I am just the opposite. And so he believes that he believes that faith that is keeps it together will allow it to continue. And I'm the devil's advocate and the heathen, and I say the foot wash is going to take it over. But the foot wash could be something else as well. But it has to start somewhere. We have to start talking. We have to tell our stories. In doing this, I realized that I had a conversation with my mother I'd never had. My mother's mother belonged to a benevolent. So I call my mother, and I'm like, hey, Ma, you know, how did your service start? You know, in the church? I remember her saying, ooh, that was and I was like, okay. I said, if this brings you back to the church, we screened it for the family. We screened it for Judge Clemens. We were denied the Sidewalk Movie Film Festival, which is in Birmingham. Mm-hmm. But we're going to screen at the Birmingham Civil Rights Museum.
Amen.
There are three people here I need to introduce. My sister Linda is here, my old sister Linda. Introduced me to the art. And so she has a very
my evolution as an artist and not just lover, and I was tired.
Oh.
And so Lenny, this is Lenny.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I became disgusted by the foot wash
And there's a part of me that's just ashamed by how it just descended into what it became. But I did want to know, on the flip side, was there anything good about the footwork for redeeming? I know you focus a lot on the prostitution and gambling. Is there anything good or positive happening besides the one church service on the Sunday across the street? So that's pretty much the bulk of it.
That's what happened. Well, we gifted the organization the 501c3 because we felt we could not go in there and pull it apart without being a part of what could possibly be. They kept talking about wanting to do a community thing, wanting to do maybe things for seniors and health issues. And so with 501c3, there are people in the Benevolent Society who are educated and who know how to work it if they want to work it. Oral Burke was the school teacher there. She taught right in the Benevolent Society. So, she could even do something with the 501c3. But we have to find a way to get back to the benevolence.
I'm just curious to know if there's been any discussion in regards to possibly renting space at the foot wash.
If you have the money,
and I'm saying to set up a screening,
yes,
of this film.
Yes. Oh, that. No, yes. We haven't talked because of the way it's set up. There's no way to control being able to screen there. You'd have to do something outside of the foot wash.
Okay.
It's the hardest problem, the biggest problem we had was the sound issue. Because we literally wanted to, we took a space from Aura, we paid her for a space, so that we could set up a tent, but it was just impossible to control the sound. So the screening would have to be something in a different venue. It won't work there because of the, literally it's like little parcels of land, and the music is going almost 24/7, and that would be difficult to do. So we're trying to find ways to screen it where we can control it.
Any other questions? So I think the biggest shocker was about magic and who was bothered.
Yeah.
And that's the trustee of the organization.
Right.
So do you have any updates on him or sort of what the, risks would be having him be
a
part of it?
When you were laughing, you missed what, he's not the trustee.
Oh.
It's the people in the room, they are the trustees.
Right.
So when you're laughing, you kind of miss the focus of it.
Oh, okay.
And so we've been thinking about how we can fix that. So hopefully we'll have an opportunity to fix it so it's not missed. But the magic has been really, really helpful. He did 2 years at UAB. And one of the things he talked about is his grandmother and wanting to go back to college to get his law degree. But he got to UAB from this really, really small town called Utah, Alabama. And he went, he got to Birmingham, and he saw this and that. And, literally when he says, I just wanted to make a little couple of dollars, he really says that all the time. But he's brilliant. So if he was allowed to use that brilliance in a different focus, then you have to blame his dad, too, his parents. Because Reverend Kennard is like the town drunk. But they love the way he preaches.
Congratulations, great, very insightful. I'm just curious how you know, there were many startling things in the film. But the fact that the law enforcement people who were there monitoring the foot wash, they allowed themselves to be taped, knowing that they were allowing illegal activities to occur under their nose. I mean, can you talk a little bit about...
We live in that world. That's what we live in now. Everybody wants 15 minutes. Everybody. And so, let me tell you, the foot wash will be 125 years old this year. And when we filmed Sheriff Ellis, it was in 2010, and the state troopers had only been on the periphery up until that point. But in 07, Connie Johnson found her husband in a prostitution pit, that's what they call him, went home, got a gun, came back and killed him. So we found out that was her second husband to kill, but anyway. But listen, up until that point, there had been robberies, you know, that kind of thing. There was not a murder. So this thing had existed without a financial scandal and without this type of, like, mad violence. And so 2 years after the death of Claude Floyd, state troopers are now not on the periphery, they're walking around. So everybody is getting paid. And so here again becomes the question, how do I take care of my family? And so we can't go in there and be completely accusatory, because the black belt where this foot wash takes place is the poorest county, not only in Alabama, but in the country. And so, but the problem is there are a handful of people who are making the money. That's the issue. So to find a way to get funding so that something can happen around the foot wash, to start bringing in voter registration, you know, griots, you know, storytellers, health care, right in the benevolent society. That's what they would like to do. But everybody is getting paid. You see them walking around. What do you mean we don't go into the tent? What do you mean?
One thing that I got from the film is that the foot wash, there are foot washes everywhere.
Yes.
And it's just a symptom of what has happened
yes.
to our people.
Yes.
Which is a sad thing to me. It made me sad. Because where did we go from a society of benevolence where we took care of each other to letting this craziness happen? And it's everywhere.
Yes.
It's not just.
And you know, it's interesting because when we were filming, we kept saying to Raquel, what is this we're seeing? What is it we're seeing? So every morning at breakfast, we would have this dialogue, and it would be like, is it dichotomy? Is it irony? It just kept every day. And then one morning, like maybe toward the end of the week, he walked into breakfast and he said, I got it. And I said, what? He said, contradiction. We're seeing contradiction. Everybody's saying one thing out of this side of the mouth and then they're doing another. And that's been the name of the film since the beginning, the contradiction. Because they're all living it. And it's difficult to make the decision to not feed your family. Literally, the people that own the land can live off that money for an entire year.
Wow.
Some of those vending spots go for $2,500 a night.
Wow.
Or a butter plate. Big butter! They're making large
$1,000 a month.
They do the pilgrimage, the first week in March every year. That might be a way to represent John Lewis.
And Selma.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Fire Rose,
to Ray. Yeah, Rose does the thing, and then there's also Congressman John Lewis brings a whole team of congresspeople and so forth down there. You might want to talk to them. They might be actually doing the screen and a lot of faith with all of
it. Excellent. Thank you, Gary.
We want to thank you guys for... Oh, one more? Oh, okay, last question.
I'd just like to address you. I know you mentioned about CORE. The elders of the particular benevolent society, mm-hmm. what is their psyche in terms of how they view themselves? Do they view themselves as being poor, or do they view themselves being rich? Because there seems to be this thing that...
That's a contradiction.
That's contradiction.
Yeah, that's another contradiction. They're rich in history. Because they still hold the knowledge, mm-hmm. but they're poor financially, so they need the money. You know, young people are still leaving. There's still migration happening out of some small southern town. And so this is one of them, because there's nothing there for the kids to do, young people to do. So they're leaving here and going to Birmingham, coming to Cleveland, going to Canada. So it literally is a part of that
conversation. Yeah. Sure. It's once a year, but how long is it open?
It used to be just Sunday, and now it has evolved into the vendors start coming on Tuesday. It's the last Sunday in September. And so the vendors start coming little by little, like Tuesday, the early folks. You know, because they'll early folks are probably food, so they'll start serving food Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You'll start seeing the T-shirts, purses, and by Thursday afternoon, Thursday evening, the tents are going up, and then by Friday morning, the music is going, and. Saturday, you can't walk. Sunday, it literally from Sunday into Monday, it does not stop. I've never in my life seen anything like this, I'm telling you. It was incredible, and the only thing I think, the first year we went, I didn't feel safe because I did see weapons about. The second year we went, you know, I walked down the main road, it was like, Lieutenant! That first year we were meeting everybody, I was like, you know, having cocktails back, and, you know, yeah, baby, we can take a picture. Can I come in your tent? You know, so by the second year I had buddies, Kelly literally was going to bring her wedding dress because so many guys had proposed. Embracing our history so that our children know who they are, so they don't have to be there. Mm-hmm. Thank you guys. Thank you for coming. And it's part of the book, so.